Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Dan wil ek voorstel, tonight, Tannie Amanda, kom ons geef haar lekker hande klap. En ek wil ook welkom sê vir Openbaring. Kan om met u langs tannie staan net vir oomblik asseblief. Kom sê vir Openbaring ook 'n lekker hande klap. Waar is my vrou? Kom hierso. Ons wil sommer net vir tannie Amanda en Openbaring eer voor ons vir tannie Amanda die stage gee. Wil maar net hê my vrou moet hier by my kom staan en like. Ja, dankie. Dan lyk alles 'n bietjie mooier, nê. when we came to Secunda, we were invited for lunch and there was a lot of meat in the Standerton home. Okay? Onder andere boktong, nê? But Umbarend was very glad that I don't like tongue so much because he especially likes it. But I enjoyed the steak. Umbarend, ons kan die partnership doen. Actually, steak wat ons kan die tong vat. But all I remember is that we had a great time with you guys. And we really building a friendship, you know, with Tannie Amanda and Umbarend. And I just want to say this is the two kindest people you will meet. And Tannie Amanda, if I can just brag about you for a moment, she's known by a term that can often cause trouble. She's known to be a prophet. Okay? But she's the humblest and most loving person I know. So you can listen. Amen? So Tannie Amanda, in Obara, we just want to honor you and welcome you. And thank you for the work you are doing in our church by being here. And lay some bricks for us, and we will build well upon it. Amen.
It's truly a great honor to be with you, but not only an honor, it's a deep joy. I love this house. I actually saw the first two people that came to Secunda, a Swiss in Polo, that you remember, Carl, before you came. Let me tell you something. I owe the Father First in this town for many years, and we've been praying for Secunda. God gave me a dream, an aerial view dream of this town, and He gave me key words. And I realized that somehow we should pray and ask the Lord to send reborn aerials into Sasol. So we started to pray, a whole bunch of us, funny intercessors, prayers, watchmen, whatever you want to call us, oos and tannies, we prayed. And you know what? Age is part of life. It's real life to age. That's normal to call people oom and tannie. So feel free if you want to do that. Call me on my name if you want, Amanda. I'm not worried about titles and stuff. I'm worried about our hearts. And do I hear God for the city where He planted us for a specific time in the season? So just let me just continue and go with the flow. We prayed and we say, Lord, please send reborn engineers into this Sasol. Send spirit-filled people, Lord, that will care enough, who will allow Your sound of Your heart for the city, who will open their hearts and receive the compassion of Christ Jesus for the people that's so lost in the city. And He gave me, you know, I love God. I'm absolutely in love with Jesus. He is my first love. And my husband knows that. I will tell you something about, because we're going to talk about marriage, I think, on the end. But let me tell you one thing. God honors the simple, humble prayer of people that take time to listen and hear what's going on in his heart for a place, for a family, for a city, for a nation. He listens to us. He's attentive. His ear is attentive. He listens what we speak. Actually, in Malachi 2, the word says there's a book of remembrance where he writes up the conversation of people that's talking about him. And he heard us. And he sent this bunch of amazing people that came and planted Shofar. And let me tell you something, I love you with all my heart, and I know it. Hulle kan enigiets doen, bokketongetjies kom eet, potte kos kom eet en standerton. We just love to welcome Shofar. Because you know what, I found young people that really means business with God. We are not in in programs, we are not in entertainment. Entertainment will help us to end up in hell. God is real. He's a real God. And there's a broken world out there. And let me tell you something. Marriages, families are the key to reach your city. And for us, as the church, we must understand one thing about family. He started the world with a family, with a marriage. He did his first miracle on a wedding ceremony. And he will throw the biggest wedding party ever when he come to fetch us. Marriages are important to God. Families are the most important to God. He created the world for a family. For us to be family. Outside of God, there is no family. I'm married to my husband, Baron, for 31 years. And I love him. I can honestly say before you tonight what I'm going to preach. I live. By the grace of God, we made it through all the storms. Stem julle saam met my? I'm working for Voice in the City Ministries. It's the International Missions Ministry. I have the privilege to minister in other nations, and specifically Indonesia and Papua Indonesia, not Papua New Guinea. And let me tell you, everywhere I go, marriages are broken. I had the privilege to minister to some of the key leaders of a church called GBI. It's one of the biggest churches in Indonesia. Broken marriages. And I want to explain tonight because I seek God for answers. Even for our own marriage. Seek Him for answers. Lord, give me the keys. Show me why it's so important for Satan to destroy marriages. Even the other day we married a young couple. 7 months later they want to divorce. It's not from God. Let me tell you. The enemy is walking around like a lion. But the Lion of Judah is the answer. And he has the answer, and I want to share tonight, from my heart, what God taught me. And I think, being married for 31 years, we have the liberty now to speak maybe something on marriages, something on relationship in marriage. And I want to ask you tonight, open your heart. When we sat here, I agree with the scripture from 1 Peter 2. I just saw hearts and I saw lights in the hearts and I prayed. I said to the Lord, I said, it's lovely to be together with so many living stones in your presence, Lord. That was my prayer. And the second prayer I prayed for you was this, Lord, I want to be like a voice in the wilderness tonight. Crying out, make a way for the Lord. Make straight a crooked way. Remove the stones. And God wants to give us keys tonight that can help you to remove the stones, even hardened hearts in the place tonight. Because this is Satan's agenda against us. And I want to share how God taught me. And I hope young people who are not married yet, just show me we will pray for you. All of those who that's looking for wives and husbands, you must come. We will pray for you. You know what? I had the privilege. Ek liefdet man, ons moet trou, ouens en kinders hê, nê, in die aarde val. Dis wat die Bybel sê, is blessings to be married. It's a blessing to be married. I mean, I'm blessed to be married. Yesterday I told somebody, I'm 31 years married and I'm more in love with my husband than ever before. Growing and growing. And this is what God wants from us. If we can see the obstacle, if we can discern what's going on, if we can see what's in our hearts, we can sort it out. Easy. Okay. There's a man called Geoffrey Brumley. I don't know how to pronounce his surname really, but he said something that catched my eye. And as God made man in his own image, so he made earthly marriage in the image of his own eternal marriage with his people. And this is a secret and a deep truth. Marriage is, it is an image of his own eternal marriage with us as his church, us as his bride. And he created marriage. Outside of God, marriage does not exist. Do you agree? He instituted marriage. That's why unsaved people can't understand why we need to make a covenant before God by marrying, by promising in the presence of a living God that we will be truthful to each other and God. And we can't expect from unsaved people to make this decision because they don't understand covenant. So I want to start there tonight. We are talking, the theme for this time is redeeming your story. That's true. So I thought a little about this. And the word redeem or redemption, it means able to save people from sin, error, and evil. So what we say, redeeming my story, Amanda's story, that started off quite wild as a 4.5-year-old girl being molested for the first time, scarred by life until I met my husband. I've been through many funny things. But you know what? God has an answer for every trouble you've been through. From your birth till now, He is the answer. And I'm a living testimony of the redeeming power of God. And I say it is a transforming power of God's redeeming grace. So if we speak about redeeming our story, we must understand one thing. Every person has a story. Every person has a testimony. And your testimony starts the day that you give your heart to Jesus. Your first testimony is, I'm saved by the grace of God. Then the people come and they teach us some stuff and we are baptized in water. And my second testimony is maybe I'm saved and I'm baptized. And then I'm saved, baptized, and spirit-filled. But that's only the beginning of my testimony. The testimony that we need and the redeeming that we need is where we bring all the hurt of the past to the feet of Jesus, who conquered every demonic force from every rank and order on the cross. And as we come and as we dare to lay down pride and acknowledge, Lord, we need help, and acknowledge maybe in the church we need help. It's very prideful not to ask for help. Very prideful. But if we could find it in our hearts to humble ourselves and bring that thing before God and lay it down and say, Lord, I bring that person before you who molested me. I forgive him. I set him free. And I want to be free. I receive my freedom. I receive my redemption. I receive whatever I need in that, at that moment. This is what redeeming really means. After salvation, we need to come before God with everything. Now, the thing with marriage is this. Many times we marry, and it happened with me when I married my husband. I was actually broken, but I didn't know it. Is daar nog van julle wat soos ek was? Jy stikkend, maar jy besef het nie. Huh? That's real life. But God's grace, as we grow in our relationship with Him, this true story unfolds. And let me tell you, this is a very important theme, redeeming your story. Because you need testimonies of overcoming to survive in this world. Even in marriage, you need that testimony. It's important to understand that it's not just a theme God chose specifically. A theme, redeeming your story. Our stories is important to God. Because every healing, every time when you pursue healing, every time when you dare to bring the brokenness, to bring the lack, to bring whatever you need divine exchange for to the cross, and you dare to take what Jesus did for you. Freedom, liberty. You become a trophy for God before the world, before Satan, actually. That's what the word says. And for us in our marriages, this is going to be important to understand, seeing that we chose by will to marry in the presence of God. So we need to understand what this is all about. In Malachi 2 verse 4, 15, the word says in the New King James Version, and did not God make you and your wife one flesh? I think I get the Amplified Version. What did I go up? No, this is the Amplified Version. Okay. Did not God make you and your wife one flesh? Did not one make you and preserve your spirit alive? And why did God make the two one? Because he sought a godly offspring from your union. Therefore, take heed to yourself and let no one deal treacherously and be faithless to the wife of his youth. I want to read the MSG also. Very interesting and very deep. The MSG translation says, God, not you, made marriage. Straightforward. His spirit inhabits every smallest detail of marriage. Important to understand tonight, marriage is spiritual. We will come to the fleshly part maybe, but marriage is spiritual first of all. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God. That's what. So God, the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Straightforward. An instruction. It's like a manual to follow. Now, I want to just talk a little bit on, and did God not make one flesh, one flesh. You know, when God created Adam, the word of God says in Genesis 1 verse 27, he created the male and female. Is that right? Maar was nog net Adam. And he blessed him. He blessed him with fruitfulness. He told him, go multiply fill the earth. And Eve was still in Adam. She was not born yet. She was not made or fashioned yet. Not born, fashioned. He spoke every blessing and every instruction that God had to say to Adam and Eve while she was still inside of him. Important tonight to understand why. And then God gave them an instruction. And he said, go have dominion. Rule. And this instruction he got while Eve was still in him. It's only in Genesis 2 where the word of the Lord says, he opened Adam and he took the rib out, he filled up the space of flesh, he closed that and he fashioned Eve. And this scripture in Malachi 2 is speaking about what God did when he created Adam. He took dust, dew, made clay, and formed Adam. And then God came and he blew his breath into Adam. And he became a living being, a living soul. Now in Malachi 2, verse 15, God asked you a question. Did not one, he's speaking about himself, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make you and preserve your spirit alive? And the Afrikaanse Bible say that hy, alhoewel God nog asem oorgehad het, om Eva ook uit stof te maak. Ga lees bekend Afrikaans. Alhoewel God nog asem oorgehad het om Eva ook uit stof te maak, het hy hierdie eenheid gekies. Deur sy asem eenmalig in daardie klei in te blaas, sodat Adam, man en vrou, lewende wese kon word, en toe het hy gegaan vir eenheid se onthaalwe. Vir eenheid se onthaalwe. Het hy nie nog stof gevat, nog dou gevat en in haar asem ingeblaas nie. Om 'n perfekte eenheid te kry, het hy gegaan en hy het Adam oopgemaak en hy het daar rib uitgehaal. En die woord sê, ek kan my imagine, hoe staan God met hierdie rib van Adam en hy sê die vleis, hy het hom opgevul en toegemaak en toe het hy Eva gebou. So kom ons mooier as julle is. Toe maar, julle het baie meer amazing eienskappe as wat ons ooit kan droom om te hê. Maar die belangrike ding wat God vanaand vir jou wil sê is dit. Elke Adam het 'n Eva. En voor die grondlegging van die aarde is Eva uit Adam gehaal. En was dit God se perfekte plan voor die sondeval? Nie dat ek, Amanda, 2 of 3 of 4, of 5 of 10 of 50 boyfriends moes hê nie. Maar dat ek sou verlang om my Adam te ontmoet. God sê, hy het Eva na Adam toe gevat. Dat ek 'n verlange in my hart, dit is die perfekte omstandigheid. Dis nie waar ons wêreld is nie, dis die perfekte omstandigheid. Dat vir die eenheid se onthaalwe, en vir goddelike nageslag, vir godly offspring, God wanted this unity. Imagine, if the church would mature, if we could grow to a place where we make it a priority to become healthy, happy families. Giving birth to godly offspring. What will happen in a generation's time to the world? To the city, to Sekunda. If we could decide to lay down, and I will come there, I will give you keys. Lay down every battle axe and every battle between us and pursue unity. Chase it with all in us, with our eye on the next generation. Desiring together with God, dreaming with Him about a godly offspring. In Indonesia, where I work, where I have the privilege to work, they train children from 2 years old to become intercessors. Church being persecuted is different from the way we live. A persecuted church, they know they must obey the word of God. Otherwise, they will not make it. Believe me, I've been there. Different islands. Imagine what's happened in Sorong, where 7 year and 8 and 9 year old children intercessors go into red district, change, close down red district, red light areas. Because the church decided to pursue family, healthy families. I'm challenging tonight every family, every marriage in this house to come tonight to a place where you will understand that God desires this level of commitment to Him. Marriage is not about sex. Marriage is about intimacy. Intimacy is a natural, beautiful, deep, joyous outflow from a place of unity between a husband and wife. Sex is connected to lust. Lust will not last. Let me tell you, I know. Love lasts. Intimacy come from a place where we, as a couple, search the heart of the Lord. Intimacy is made like worship before God. It's pure. It's wonderful. It is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. The unity between a husband and a wife. My husband sends me anywhere in the world. Thank God I had a mentor as a young woman, more than 31 years ago, that taught me never to use intimacy as a weapon in my marriage. Never to refuse what God gave as a gift. I thank God for that mentor. And for the knowledge that I had before we got married. My husband has no problem to send me to Papua, where we work with the tribes. They're still cannibals and really some dangerous situations, believe me, because we know with the understanding we have that immunity comes when we pursue God's order for us as a family. I will talk about Ephesians 5 because we need to go deep into love tonight. And this is the thing about us. The church is many times so timid. And you know why? When we have to pray for people that's responding, we sit with the same issues. And now we feel condemned while Jesus paid the price and He is the answer. In Him we have the liberty. It's because of His grace and His love that we can be set free. It's not performance. It is not because you have this knowledge. It's just to come to a place where we trust Him enough. And we lay down the pride we have in us and say, I need help. The day when I discovered, I was so prideful because I never asked for help. I didn't realize it's prideful. Not to come and say, I trust you. Jou aksie, jylle twee is nou senior koppel, so aksie nou typies gekom het. Dis 'n jong vrou sê, Tannie, luister nou vir my man, ek het 'n groot probleem, ek sukkel, ek praat tee met my man of wat ook al. Verstaan jylle? Not to come and ask for help is prideful. And God hates that. And this is the thing that He says it comes to a fall. Not to ask for help. To ask for help. God says, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up. And I challenge you tonight not to be prideful if you struggle in your marriage, because we pursue a nation that will serve God. But let me tell you, unless the church wake up and get on fire for God, this will not happen. Because the church is the fire. We are the answer for South Africa. We are the answer. Our example of our lives draw people like a light, like a moth to a light. This is what we need to be. People must look at your marriage and say, what do you have? As a young woman, in the company where I worked, one of the directors came to me one day and he said to me, why do you laugh all the time? Why? And I just got this funny word. Do you really want to know? Yes, ask me tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning he was waiting in the foyer of the R&L, of the research laboratories. Tell me why. I took him to his office and I said, Jesus is the joy in your marriage, in your life. Wherever you lack joy, just know one thing, he's not there. If there's any area in your life where you lack joy, invite him in. Humble yourself. If you struggle tonight with your marriage and there's no joy in intimacy, if there's no joy in your relationship, invite Jesus in. Stop. And invite him in. Don't make a war out of everything. It's unnecessary. So I want to highlight, and don't make a war out of intimacy. It is really something that God gave as a blessing. And the strongest unity, the strongest weapon we have. So if I go into places where it's dangerous, I'm telling you, I'm really bold. Not arrogant. Because I walk with my Lord as to the best of my knowledge. I leave peace at home. I don't leave my husband and do just my own thing. We will talk about submission, but in a different sense. So just Malachi 2:16, I want to again highlight what the word says there. Actually, in the second part, but let's read. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I hate divorce and marital separation, and him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you deal not treacherously and faithlessly with your marriage mate. So here is the thing. Many times we seek for help and people try to bring healing on your soul dimension concerning marriage issues. Marriage issues is a spiritual issue. Is a word. So you can't just minister to the emotions all the time. The emotions, Werner, is the fruit of something that went wrong in the spirit. Verstaan julle dit? So as julle nou mense bedien, if you have to pray for somebody, then you minister on both sides. But please, don't feed emotions. Emotions can cripple you. Speak to the spirit man. Bring correction there. Help the people to submit to God again. Help the people to invite Holy Spirit back so that Holy Spirit can lead the house, can lead the marriage. Verstaan julle? Maak dit sin? Okay. So, it's so clear that many times when we struggle in our marriages, words are flying. Is it waar? Okay, the word of God says in Proverbs 15 verse 4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So if I come to my husband and I say for him lief, ek lief het om vir hom lief te sê, ek's lief vir jou, en ek doen het baie al, dan is my woorde soos 'n boom van lewe. Maar as ek kom, wat om so bietjie, ha? Vrouwens, you just want the last say all the time, ha? Sorry, ek ken 'n vrou, ek's ene, is 'n volbloed vrou. You know what the word says? It crushes the spirit. So again, when we speak about marriage, when we speak about struggling in marriage, the issue is more on the spirit man. Because the words wound the spirit more than the soul. And this is one of the things that I've discovered everywhere, where people don't understand how to break through. Even if we minister to each other then. Ons is mos nou wedergebore, ouens. Huh? We are children of God. We are supposed to sit down with each other and say, Lord, hubby, pray for me. I struggle. Ek is jammer, ek is so 'n kwaaie kabouter. Help my. Dis real life. Real life is nie loop rond met 'n huile om jou kop nie. Daai is fake. Dis Hollywood se goed daai. Ek wil niks met dit te doen hê nie. Jesus was real. He sat with the drunkards and the prostitutes. Because he cared so much. And he cares for us. He made a way for us. So there's two keys that the word says. Let's just get this together before I move on to Ephesians 5. Keep watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by God's spirit. Eerste key. As jy sien jou woorde gaan buite beheer, stop. Moenie jou sin klaarmaak nie. The moment when Holy Spirit speak, stop. Break the power of the tongue to hurt. Repent immediately. Many marriage problems will be solved in a week if we go on a word fast. Wie sê amen en wie sê ouch? Self-control is important when we build relationships. Words crush the spirit. So, key number one, keep watch upon your spirit that it may be controlled by God's spirit. This is the golden key to a really blessed and joyful marriage. Guard your spirit. Secondly, the oneness that God is speaking about in Malachi 1. The word in Hebrew is ikad, E-C-H-A-R-D. It's the same word used for God. When the word says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The Lord is ikad. So the Lord says, the ikad that he's looking for, the oneness between me and my husband, is for a godly offspring. It's the same unity that is between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Because we, through the Spirit, are connected with Him. And we are one. This is the oneness God is speaking about. And that oneness demands humility. I'm telling you, if we are not willing to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and follow His rules, you will always have one or two issues in your marriage. Maybe you ask tonight, is this possible? I'm saying tonight it's possible. Otherwise, God wouldn't write it in His word. It's just, are we willing to give way to the Spirit of God to to lead us into a better way, better understanding, better relationship. Open your heart, open your mind, open your everything that concerns you to bring a change. Creating solid biblical families. This is his desire. Ephesians 5. Why am I going to Ephesians 5? I want to speak to you about something. Normally, when we hear Ephesians 5, many women put their fingers in their ears. Submit unto your husbands. That's very important. But that's not all. And the most important part of Ephesians 5. I want to go to something. Just read, submit. Start at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The beginning. Submission begins with reverence for the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And the word of God says, not to your riches, most spiritual, most die grootste hank in die wêreld, the one that gives the biggest presents. He says to your husband, as is, girls, as is. God gave my husband to me, as is. There's certain things on him I can't change, and I don't want to. If Holy Spirit can't manage to do whatever he wants to do, it's not my work to be Holy Spirit in his life. I honor my husband like Abraham's wife that said, here. Why? Because my heavenly husband, Jesus Christ, is my Alpha and my Omega. I will not dare to refuse or to withhold myself from my husband because it reflects my intimate relationship with Christ. Even in our most difficult times, when we struggle to keep our marriage by mekaar, I would not dare to withdraw myself from him. And why? Because of the revelation I got that, and we will see it now in the scriptures, that my relationship, our relationship, is a direct mirror of my relationship and his relationship with Christ. He is my heavenly husband. I love to be intimate with him. Therefore, I love to be intimate with my husband. Whether it's little words, whether it's whatever, whether it's a little gift, whether it's whatever, a kiss, a hug, intimacy is manifested. It's not only what we think. We might. Intimacy is so cheap, guys. And you know why? It's because Hollywood sketched a cheap picture of what Christ purchased with his blood. Intimacy is not cheap. Intimacy is pure. And I want to say it again. Intimacy is a very powerful weapon against Satan. Many times when I had to fight with my husband. Many times when I had to fight for my children. Many times when I had to fight for my grandchildren's lives. It happened a time ago. I could stand bold before my God. And I want to bring this to you so that you can understand. Marriage is not separated from your spiritual life. It's interwoven. It's part of your spiritual life. Marriage is first of all spiritual. Then it is soul. Then it is body. Marriage is not body, body, body. We need to run away from the worldly ideas of how they do stuff. Joy. Do you know, I've been a researcher for many years. So I read often om articles to lees. So I've read this very interesting research that I've done on married, happily married, married and unmarried couples. Okay. They did chemistry on their bodies and all kinds of stuff to see which one of the three groups, the happily married, the married and the unmarried, are fulfilled through intimacy. And they made this amazing discovery. They proved the Bible. Only the happily married, those who pursued each other, and those who did not resist, those who gave themselves freely to each other, was fulfilled. Dis net so ietsie. This is on the fleshly side. That even through research, they proved that only in covenant and the covenant of God, intimacy can bring joy. Is it not awesome? Eh? And it's for us. Huh? Is jy nie opgewonde daaroor nie? Genade moet nie so heilig lyk en nou net moet ons kyk of vir kinders is in hierdie plek. So kom sien dan na die tyd. Vers 22 sê, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. So if you understand the power that lies in this order of the Lord, Jesus is my husband's head. Does that say he's the most spiritual man on earth? He's the one that's praying the longest? No! This is an order instituted by God. Ek kan nie kom en sê, hoorie, ek wil aan jou submit, maar jy moet nou eers 'n bietjie verander, asseblief. Yes, jy weet wat? Rarig, hoor, jy lees te min Bybel. To make it practical. It's absolutely not what God is talking about. Absolutely not. He says, we are in a covenant. We are married. We are married before God in His presence. Therefore, Jesus is His head. And He is mine. Finish it. Take it to leave it. So if you honor God and you honor His order, I'm telling you, God will use you for something. Hoor vandag wat ek vir julle sê. Because if we honor God and we obey God, we love Him, we are His friend. He call you His friend. Even in marriage institution, it's true. En ek wil hierdie ding inbring, het julle verstaan, that marriage is not only, it's not isolated something, and I live my marriage life here, and separated from the church, and from spiritual life. It's not. It's spiritual. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, verse 16, and he says, I bow my knees before the Father in heaven that named every family in heaven and on earth. You are named by God. You are part of His eternal family. And Paul prayed and he said, the families that are already in heaven. So what he actually says there, those who are already with the Lord. And us, for God, there is not earth, life, and heaven. For Him, we are family. This is how important family is to God. And we should also do the same. Understand. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Now, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. To sanctify her, to cleanse her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or such blemish, but holy and blameless. And men, the day when God revealed the secret to me, what this scripture really means, I was delighted. There is no bigger authority on the earth than to love like Christ. The highest authority on the earth is to love like Christ. And He gave our men, He gave men the ability to love like Christ. More than that, as you come and you minister to your wife,
the Word of God. As you take this Word, and you come to her in the morning or the evening or whenever, you say, Love, you weet wat, toe ek vir jou gebid het, het die Here vir my hierdie skrif gegee. En jy lees vir hierdie skrif, en jy bedien haar met die skrif, jy minister to her, the word of the Lord. The word of God says, it is to sanctify, cleanse, wash, and to present her to himself as a glorious church. So what happened in the Garden of Eden? God spoke to Adam. That's why I sketched that scenario. He gave Adam all the instructions. He gave Adam all the blessings. He told Adam not to eat. Eve was still inside of him. And the moment when the snake came with his sneaky nature, and he's still like that, and he came to Eve and he said, did God say? Adam kept quiet. When God came to Adam, after they ate the whatever fruit, I'm not sure if it was an apple, I'm ready, thank you, Swinny. Apples is so lekker. Adam said, it's my wife. But let me tell you what God revealed to me about Ephesians 5 and what happened on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came, and every mistake that Adam made in Eden by not covering, but not being the cover of Eve, by not protecting her, telling her not to eat, by accusing her, it's Eve, on the cross, Jesus paid for that error. He redeemed the story on the cross. And he redeemed the DNA of Adam, om het so te say. And he came and he said, Adam, you can love one wife like I love my one wife. It's possible. You can wash her with a word. In the past, you did not cover her. But now, it's possible. And Adam, one thing, just to by the way, when you do that, you are busy preparing the bride of Christ. The key to preparation of the bride lies in the church, lies with marriages, lies with husbands and wives. Owens, ek weet dis 'n diep woord, en ek weet dis 'n challenging woord. Want my ondervinding van waar ek rondloop in die wêreld het my geleer, min mans bid vir hulle vrouens. Vrouens bid vir hulle mans. Min mans bid vir hulle vrouens. Min mans vat die woord en bid dit oor hulle vrouens. Women is doing that. But the Lord says clearly, he gave you the ability, first of all, to love your wife like Christ. Do you know why Satan positioned every dimension and sphere of the community of the world to work against this? From television, books, cell phones, laws. Porn is okay. Dit is okay. Dat is okay. Do you know why? He's after this authority. Men, you can love one wife, but Christ loves one wife. And he uses porn. He uses imaginations to draw you away from the biggest authority on earth, to love like Christ. And I'm telling you, the day when I discovered this, when I look at you, I feel to do like this, to salute you, because the ability, the love of Jesus is either dormant or very active in you. But I will not dare touch that.
En ek wil hê julle moet vanaand mooi luister as mans. If you really want to go for God, if you really want to pursue Him, if you want to grow in your authority, get this thing in your life ready, right? Say, Lord, I want to love like Christ. I want to hate evil. When that message come on my cell phone or whatever, I will resist you, Satan. In the name of Jesus. I will not open up. I will not listen to that judgeable spirit in my workplace that's telling me how sweet or whatever I am. I will not, for the name of Jesus Christ's sake and for what He did for me. Let me tell you, I respect Christ in my husband. Women, when I speak to my husband, I first speak to Christ. And then I speak to Him. He's carrying His love. He's carrying the ability to do what Christ is doing for His church. I will not shout at my husband. Because then it's actually I'm shouting at Christ. Verstaan julle vanaand wat ek sê? Ek weet ek praat sulke snaakse goeters. But let me tell you one thing. We must stop with this superficial stuff and call the problems what it is. Because problems is not superficial, it's very real. If I abuse, if I'm abusive with my tongue towards my husband, I am first of all abusive towards Jesus because He's His head. So I will not dare to raise my voice for my husband. And He sit here, He is my witness. If I dare that, I repent very quickly. Because I fear my God. Nou nou kom ons op 'n plek en jy dryf duivels uit en sê daai ou ek ken jou nie. Wat dan? Hè? Verstaan julle? Dit gaan oor obedience. Ek wens ek kan net met julle om 'n tafel sit, dat dit so stywe besigheid is nie, want ek weet, in hierdie plek is so baie vrae. Sorry. Ouers, ek het groot geword met so min huweliks inligting. As dit nie vir daai vrou was, daai rukkie voor my huwelik, voor ek getrou het nie, het ek niks van niks geweet nie. We need the real stuff. Die Here sê in sy woord, this is how stains, wrinkles, blemishes are removed from the bridal garment of Christ. It's when husbands minister to their wives the word. How precious is that? How amazing is that? When you look at your husband, that's how I'm married, say, yo, yes, amazing. Huh? How God made you. I hope it creates a new respect in your heart, woman, for your husbands, for how you see them. Is Openbaring perfect? How no? Is that perfect? Nog minder. But there's certain principles I will not dare touch. Because I know this, the days when I had to fight for Him, this gave me immunity. When you have to stand before that giant for your marriage, what will give you immunity? David said, I don't want to fight with other people's armor. I don't know that, but I have 5 stones. Do you have your 5 stones? Do you know? What is your 5 stones? When that giant stands before you, when I had to fight for his life, yeah, in Trichardt, when they told me his brain dead, I asked the doctor, forgive me. But this prophetic word over this man is not even activated yet. Just give me time, private time. And I started to fight for him. Say, Satan, you will leave my husband alone. Spirit of death, out. You will not take his life. And I could stand bold before my God. Because I did not, the morning when we left each other, left him with turmoil or whatever. We leave our homes with peace. We don't go to sleep if we don't make peace. Ek sal liever die hele nag op my computertjie werk. Maar ek sal nie gaan slaap nie. Why? The word of God says in Ephesians 4:26, if you let the sun set on your anger, you give a foothold to Satan. Who on earth wants to do that? Praat met my. This real stuff. I will not go the one or two times in our marriage life that we couldn't make peace before bedtime. Ek het deur en nog gewerk. Because I understand the word of the Lord. And God is not the man that he should lie. And the word of the Lord says in Job 22:28, he performs his word. We need to get the fear of God for his word back in our lives. And I know you sit some city and you say, how on earth am I going to get out of my mess? You know what? The cross is the answer. Divine exchange. If one person humbles, if one person pursue love, the other one will give way. Believe me. Because the Lord says, if I pray for the peace of whoever, I will live in peace. Let's talk, let's pray, let's see what is the answer for whatever dilemma you might maybe find yourself in. So, to close maybe down, want ek sien nou, dit is al, ek beg a lot. And verse 28, the word says, in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Indeed, no one ever hated his own body, but he nourished and cherished it, just as Christ does the church. Now, the word nourish means to provide for, to bring up to maturity. The word says, Christ nourish his church. He brings her up to full maturity. The husband should guide his wife to full maturity. Ons moet nou emosioneel, julle weet mos nou hoe ons. Ek hoef mos nou vir niemand prentjies te skets nie. Ek het hulle in huise gekom, maar val die vrouens op die vloer neer. Dan voel ek lus om hulle pak te gee, maar dit gebeur soms. So meet the wishes on the floor. What are you doing there? But you have the ability, you received it from Jesus, to bring your wife to maturity. So your eye must be on her emotions all the time. My husband would very often tell me, Amanda, kom hier, or wat ek al. And when I hear his voice, very rustig, very calm, I know, I must listen. And we should understand as women that God gave our husbands the ability to mature us. So who must I trust? Christ in him. Who must I trust? Who must I trust?
Christ in me.
If I can't trust Christ in my husband, who will I trust? So I pray for him. Lord, give him wisdom. Help him. When I get difficult invitations to places, I always pray, Lord, just speak to Baron, please. So Suzette phoned, she said, listen, come to Indonesia 3 weeks. I told him, Barend, I don't think it's God. 3 days later, it's God. So, okay. Verstaan julle? Maar as hy gesê het, it's not God, what then? I will stay. Die laaste een, cherish, to tenderly care for, to treat dearly. I love it. I love the way Christ see you. I love the way Christ sees husbands. I love the way he trusts you. He trusts you with his bride. He trusts you to bring a stability in homes. He trusts your heart that you will hear him tonight. I love it. I love the way Christ sees you. And God wants you to see yourself tonight the way He sees you. This will sort out a lot of marriage trouble, believe me. Laaste een, vers 32. The mystery is profound, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. Ephesians 5 is all about Christ and the church. It is not to focus on wives submit to your husbands, full stop. We missed it, Werner, and it brought an error into the church. Wives should submit, honor, is what the word means. Honor your husbands. It's important, but that's not where Ephesians 5 stops. You as men has the key to stabilize your marriage, to stabilize your family, and to lead them into a godly unit. Together, as godly families, we become this temple, this living stones, this vibrant organism that God is looking that can impact nations. Amen? Ek gaan nie verder gaan nie, want ek dink het gaan te veel, want ek het na 7 uur, is te lang. Ons spreek in Indonesië 4 uur. Daar mense stap, 48 hours, dier die woude. They come by foot, 48 uur, dier die woude. Dan kry hulle miskien 'n taxi, nog 8 ure, net om vir 5 dae te kom sit en meer van Jesus leer. Then you preach, hey, day and night. Hulle sit, baie van hulle kan nie. Ja, because they go back. 18 tribes, 14 of the most feared witch doctors gave their hearts to Jesus in 3 years' time. 18 tribes saved. People that the world said is unsavable are evangelists now. They come to the center in Papua, in Manakwari. We train them. In 3 years, 5,700 people were commissioned back to the mission field through the center. God is saving the families there. He's healing them. He's restoring them. And He wants to do the same tonight. I want to ask you, can we do the old thing? Close our eyes. And I want you, I'm going to look, not to tell any person, and I'm not going tonight to ask you to come to the front. If you struggle, I want to pray for you tonight. Can you raise your hand? And I want every eye closed. This is not to expose. This is now to humbly bow before God and say, Lord, I want the unity in my family restored. I want my husband to take his position. As wife, Lord, I want to grow in honoring my husband. As husband, Lord, I want to minister to her. I want to see that she matures, Lord. If it's you, please put up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Father, it's wonderful to see people humble themselves before you and respond to a very simple word, Lord. But your word is life and power. And I pray tonight, Father, that your word, as it go forth, Lord God, will be established in every spirit. Father, I pray for every person that raised their hands tonight. Father, first of all, I want to speak healing in the spirit man of everyone, Lord. I want to speak healing in the spirit man of every couple because they are one before you. I pray, Lord, tonight that your blood will level the valleys of despair and depression and everything, Lord, and that it will lower the lofty mountains that lifted itself up above the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will bring your peace right into everyone, every couple in this place, Lord, that say tonight, I am the one that's seeking for help. Father, I
pray that where words wounded spirits, Lord, that you will come with the healing power of your blood tonight and heal every spirit man, Father. You are the God of the supernatural. Father, we don't believe in magic. We believe you do this right now. Remove the memories. Remove the accusations. Remove whatever stood between them and peace. Them and the Prince of Peace. Bring healing, Lord. Silence the voices. Restore order. Restore respect, restore love, Lord. Activate love, activate respect in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless his families, I bless them with spiritual growth. I bless them, Lord God, that they will become pillars in this community and wherever you send them, Lord, and that you will open doors for them even to minister healing to wherever you send them, Father. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and you said we must go and do the same. Lord, activate them to become saviors of families, saviors of marriages, in the name of Jesus. Father, just remove that, the memories of the pornography. Just pray now for that one person, Lord, struggling so much. I pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus will just come right now and remove the marks on his mind. Just come, Lord, Holy Spirit, and just come and do that healing work and that restoring work and restore the worth and the freedom of this beautiful person before you, Lord God. Redeem, Lord. And Father, I just come and I rebuke this spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no right in the lives of the people of God. You must go tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Divorce is not an option. Healing is our inheritance. I declare healing over that marriage now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I even bring children before you, Lord God, and I pray that you will come and that you will restore their hearts and heal their hearts, Lord. And all the words that, yeah, Lord, the scars just come and all the wounds just come and heal. I pray for the young couple. I pray, Lord, that you will show them, Holy Spirit, how to love each other, how to pursue each other, that you will guide them in intimacy, Lord. You are our guide. Show them what they need to know, my King. Just come and restore the balance there as well, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray also for this congregation tonight. I pray, Lord, that they will become strong families. This congregation will have strong families. Father, I pray, rise up the mature families, Lord, that can support Werner and Unai and the leadership of this church, Father God, as the people will start to flock in, as you, yeah, Lord, the net is being restored, Father. That there will be mothers and fathers to receive those who are broken from outside. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you level and straighten every road today. That you remove the stones. And Lord, that as valleys is being leveled out and mills brought low, the glory of the Lord will rise upon every marriage in this place. Everyone. Not one excluded. And it will be for the world to see.
for your name's sake. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you will take this humble word, Lord, and that you will bring a full revelation and an adoration for how you created our men in our hearts as the wives. A level of respect and honor that we did not know exists, Lord. That you will raise every woman in this place up as the boundary setter, the easer connector, the intercessor of a husband, Lord, and that you will empower every man to minister to his wife with boldness, confidence. Speak to them, Lord. Reveal your heart to them in the name of Jesus. Amen.